Good morning, Meadow Park. How you guys doing today? All right, man. I love the energy in the room. And before we do anything else, let's thank Roger and the whole team up here that was leading us. Man, I tell you what. Yeah. You guys are blessed. I know what it takes to make that happen and pull that off every week and to create an environment like this. And I was blessed standing down here. My name's Kurt Walters. I'm from Indianapolis. Started church 17 years ago. Yeah, we got some Indianapolis fans in here today. Yeah. I'm on your board here at Meadow Park. I'm a part of the Meadow Park family. I've just never been with you on a weekend, and so it is a joy to be with you today, to be in this space with you. Usually I'm here on Tuesday nights or in a Zoom window with your leaders, and so it's an honor to be a part of your services and to pick up in this series that you're in and to stand in while Mark is gone. I mean, I what a gift you guys are giving your pastor to allow him to just breathe in some rest in this season. And so Mark and I have been friends for years, all the way back to our student ministry days, and then we both planted churches around the same time, and we both have four kids, and so I see his daughter and his wife here, and so we have a lot of things in common, and so it's almost like we're kindred spirits in a lot of ways, and so again, just excited to be able to be with you today. And I want to make a shout out to those online. Let's make some noise for those tuning in online this weekend. Man, excited. Yeah. Man, we're excited you're joining Meadow Park today from wherever you are in the city, state, and think about this, even our nation, our world. So excited to have you join us today. Today, you are in week four of the journey, and this whole process is going through this idea of what it means to belong, to believe, and to become. Not only a part of the Meadow Park community, but what it means to be a part of the bigger church, the kingdom of God. And whether you've been tracking every single week in this journey over the last 3 weeks, or you're here for the first time, if you're here for the first time, I want to say welcome. I know you've already been welcome, but I just want you to know the leader of this church, the leadership, Mark, leaders, this whole community shapes this place specifically for you. So if you're trying to figure out church, trying to figure out faith, there's a heartbeat here and a place for you to try to figure that out. So we're glad you're with us today. And so whether you're here for the first time or you've been here every week, I think there's something for every single one of us today. And here's the thing, even though I don't know most of you, I've not met many of you, I've met your leaders and you know, just kind of been praying for you behind the scenes, I do know what you're going through right now. In fact, every single one of us that are on this journey, that are going through this guide, or if you're here for the first time and perhaps you pick up one of these guides and you're in a place of trying to figure out faith, you are in one of four phases right now as you're trying to seek, okay, does God have more for my life? What is God's best for my life? And so I want to be your coach today. I want to kind of coach you along in this process today. And so if you're kind of stuck or in a place where like, man, I've gotten to a certain place, I don't know what my next step is, I want to try to encourage you that you're not crazy, you need to keep going. If you're feeling a sense of, man, I'm not making progress, again, I want to encourage you today and just kind of cheerlead you on in this process. Because one of the realities is that as we take steps toward faith, steps in faith, steps to deeper and deeper relationship with Jesus, there's an enemy who actually wants to prevent that from happening. And we know this, and I don't know how you refer to the enemy, if you call him Satan or Lucifer, or, I refer to this entity as an intelligent darkness. It's a sense of just this presence. It's constantly working to try to take away my joy, take away my peace, to discourage me, any steps I'm taking to remind me of my past self instead of my present self and my future self. And so, again, this entity wants to do everything possible to keep you from going deeper in your pursuit of Jesus. And as a result, we often get these things in our lives called strongholds. And stronghold is an interesting word. It's actually a military word. It's this idea of a fortified space, a fortified position. And oftentimes, even as we're growing in our faith, we get strongholds in our life. We get kind of these fortified positions. We have certain beliefs that shape where we are, and we have certain things that we kind of lean into, and we begin to feel safe, but we also don't often feel free in those places. We get to those places and we're like, okay, I've made it far enough. I think I'm just going to kind of camp out right here for a moment. But I believe God actually wants to take us to deeper places. In fact, sometimes we even begin to believe misguided beliefs about ourselves. Even things perhaps like this right here on the screen. Take a look at this.
This is the truth. It may be hard to swallow, but you can be free is a lie. And life holds no greater meaning. So as soon as they can understand, tell your children that they will not win. The enemy will know you believe the truth. Fear is more powerful than love. I tell you this, for all people, life holds beauty and possibility, but this will not be true for you. People are worthless apart from their accomplishments. The world says you are destined to be alone. Never fall for the lie that there is a God who loves you. Want some real truth? Change is impossible, so no longer buy into the delusion that your life will be safe and secure. In time, it will become evident that it's every man for himself. It is foolish to presume that you can be free. And all of this is a lie, because the truth is, you can be free. It is foolish to presume that it's every man for himself. In time, it will become evident that your life will be safe and secure. So no longer buy into the delusion that change is impossible. Want some real truth? There is a God who loves you. Never fall for the lie that you are destined to be alone. The world says people are worthless apart from their accomplishments, but this will not be true for you. Life holds beauty and possibility. For all people, I tell you this, love is more powerful than fear. You believe the truth. The enemy will know. They will not win. So as soon as they can understand, tell your children, life holds no greater meaning, is a lie, and you can be free. It may be hard to swallow, but this is the truth.
Yeah, right? Man, how cool is that? I mean, you know, so many times we get stuck in these misguided beliefs and we begin a narrative, and sometimes it just takes a change of the mindset to begin to head in an entirely different direction. Today, here's what I want for you. I want us to see that God is always coming after you. He's always coming after you, and he wants to take you to new places. And I want to take a look real quick at something from the Apostle Paul. Now, I love, love, love the Apostle Paul. We talk about the Apostle Paul at our church all the time. I feel like a kindred spirit with him. And I just want to say that if you're like new to church, if you are like checking out church for the first time, new to faith, not even sure if Jesus is reliable, you are going to like Paul. Paul's your guy, all right? Because Paul didn't grow up in church, like at least this kind of church with Jesus. He was very, very religious, but he didn't really know what Jesus was about. In fact, he was against Jesus. He's trying to arrest followers of Jesus, put them in jail. And so if you're kind of like, you know, those Christians, I'm not sure, you're going to like Paul. That's kind of where he was, all right? So you ought to read him. But then he had this change in his mindset where one day he was like, oh my gosh, I think I've missed a thing or two. I think maybe Jesus is who he says that he is. And Paul does an about face. We call it repenting, just changing direction. And he actually begins to follow Jesus, and not only follow him, but this is so good for him. He begins to write letters to new Christians all over the Mediterranean rim in the first century, and he starts churches, and he's trying to instruct them on what it means to follow this Jesus that he's come into contact with. And here's one of the things he says. He says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Not morality, not rules, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And then one of the things that Jesus does is he comes to us to save us. He comes as our Savior. We celebrated this, you know, 2-3 weeks ago at Easter, right? This whole idea, I mean, it's the one day, the one event that changes everything for the Christian faith. It's one thing that sets our faith apart from every other faith or religion. When Jesus walked out of that grave, he did what dead people aren't supposed to do. Right? He came back, right? Dead people don't do that. And so that power that raised him from the dead, he basically says, hey, that power through me is available to you. And we see this all throughout the history of God, all throughout the story of God. We see a Heavenly Father who champions our freedom and wants to bring us that same power to take us to new places. In fact, hundreds, even thousands of years before Jesus was on the scene, there was another type of Jesus figure that I want us to look at today. And this was a guy by the name of Moses. Now, Moses was another savior figure, and he basically came to physically save the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. And so he basically was like, you know, my people, they've been stuck, and he's like, I just feel this burden to take them to a new place where they're living in a freedom, where they have this spiritual vitality. And so that's what he begins to do. And here's the crazy thing. Whenever you go to a place of freedom, there is always a journey that you go on, every single time. It's not something that just happens. It's not something that just happens overnight. Like my mic just went out. There we go. All right, I'm going to put this in my pocket. Maybe that'll correct it. It's not something that just happens. There's a process that we go through. And so I want to give you four phases that we go through anytime we go on a journey to freedom. This is kind of the pathway to spiritual vitality as we grow more and more in who God wants us to be. First, we go through the blahs, and then there's the break, and then we experience the blues, and then we get to the blessings. All right, so I want to kind of coach us through this process today, because today we're talking about spiritual vitality. How do I move from where I am and take steps into more and more of the life that God has dreamed for me? And so this first phase, the nation of Israel, in this story of Moses, they were feeling the blahs. All right, this is basically the status quo. That's the default position we find ourselves in. If we don't do anything spiritually to grow ourselves forward, if we have no strategic plan, then we're just like in the blahs. It's just kind of the default position. Now, Moses was divinely appointed to be a savior of the Israelite people. And he was actually born a Jew, but through this crazy, string of circumstances, which I'm not going to really get into explaining how this all happened, he gets adopted into the leader of the nation of Egypt's home, the Pharaoh's home, and he becomes a son of the Pharaoh through adoption. And so he grows up in the Egyptian leader's home, and he learns Egyptian ways. He learns to talk like an Egyptian. He learns to walk like an Egyptian. He likes the Bengals, by the way. And he has the best education you could ever ask for at that particular time in the world, and he learns military strategy. So he has a lot of things that he's taking in this experience. And then one day, something just snaps inside of him, and he just loses it, and he realizes, you know, I am an Israelite. I'm living in the home of the Egyptians. The Egyptians are suppressing my people. I can't live with this any longer. He goes out, and he does something really stupid. He kills somebody. He just out of anger, he kills a guy. And then he's like, I can't stay here. I got to leave. I got to flee. So he goes to the desert. And it was in the desert that God actually meets him. And God basically says, hey, I need you to go back. I need you to break my people out of the blahs. They're in just a bad place. They're in the blahs, and I need to take them to a new place. In fact, here's how it's put in Exodus chapter 5. It says, Moses returned to the Lord and said, why, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? So Moses goes back, he starts talking to Pharaoh. Pharaoh is not receptive. If you know the story, he's not having it. And not only is Pharaoh not receptive, really the people, the Israelites, aren't overly receptive either. All right? He realizes, man, these people are kicking and screaming. They don't really want to leave, even though they're in slavery. And he realizes something. It is very hard to break people out of the blahs. Very, very hard. This is the most difficult phase for me to coach you through this morning. All right? This is where I'm going to do my most work here today. Moses is kind of like, God, why would you have me do this? All right, people are kicking and screaming. They don't want to leave here. I mean, you know, and some of us, we're in the blahs right now. All right, some of us think, well, isn't it normal? Isn't it normal to wish ill on my ex-spouse and kind of wish that, you know, his or her next, you know, husband or wife is just a lot uglier than me? Isn't that normal? It is normal, right? That's absolutely normal if you live in the stronghold of bitterness. I mean, if you got bitterness in your heart, you're absolutely doing that. I mean, isn't it normal, like, if you have kids and you're married and you're like, hey, we're going to get away, just the two of us, and leave the kids at home, isn't it normal to fly on two separate airplanes so that if, you know, God forbid something happens, your kids don't lose both parents? That is absolutely normal if you live out of a spirit of fear, right? That's what we do. You know, isn't it normal, you know, to dread every Sunday night, like, oh my gosh, I got to go to work tomorrow, I got to start the week again, to dread and have no energy for your job, to just always be doing the lover boy thing, like working for the weekend? Like, isn't that normal? Absolutely, very, very normal. It's what a lot of people do. Again, if that is all that you know. And so it's not like it's great in these moments, but it's not horrible either. It's like, I can keep doing this. This is the blahs right here. This is why the blahs are hard. In fact, here's the picture I'm going to give you. Here's what captures the blahs right here. It's kind of like this picture right here. It's like a toddler in a dirty diaper, all right? I want you to just picture a toddler in their crib. They just load it up, right? They're just standing there. And you're like, hey, would you like me to help you? Would you like me to change you? And they're kind of like, nope. And because it's like, I made it. It's kind of warm. It's giving me a rash. Right? Right? But we know it, so I think I'll keep it. So I want you to think to yourself right now, where are you like the toddler in a dirty diaper? What's going on in your life where you're just like, ah, it's not great, it's not awesome, it's definitely not horrible. It's certainly creating some rash, but I think I'll hang on to it. See, this is what the blahs do. There's no growth. There's no advancement, there's no spiritual intimacy with God. We just stay right where we are. And the trick here is to realize when we're in this phase and the thing we need to move on, because if we don't move, eventually we're going to be mandated to change. And so the trick is catching it before we have to change. In fact, I don't want to talk about this anymore until we all have something on our minds to kind of apply right here. All right? Because the worst thing for me, when people come to my church, and I'm like, they're like, wow, that was really inspiring, and they don't always say that. But, you know, it's like, man, that was inspiring. You gave me some good principles. And then we just go on with our day, and we don't have any application. I want every single one of us to have some application. So let's just take a moment and pray for a moment. Would you bow with me and pray? Let me pray for us. God, in this moment right now, we're sitting here with our heads bowed. And we don't do stuff like this because we just need to take up an hour on a Sunday. We don't come into this dark space when it's a beautiful day outside because we don't have anything to do. It's because we're going after you. We want more of you in our life. And so before I talk anymore, if we don't already have something on the front of our mind, God, give us a thought right now. What's that thing that should change in our life? What's the blah? What's the dirty diaper? Right now, I just pray that you give that to us in our minds. Help us recall whatever it is that we should be thinking about, God. I've given a number of examples already. There's dozens more. Would you just give us an impression right now? Amen. All right, so hopefully you have something on your mind, something you're like, this is kind of the blahs for me. And as you think about that, so how do I change? How do I get to a new place? All right, well, the thing that comes after the blahs is the break. All right, the break. This is like the definitive moment where you take an action to go to a new place, to go to a place that's going to have more and more life for you. All right, now this may not always be massive to everybody else. Everybody else might look at that and go, oh, that's not a big deal. I mean, I've done that before. I don't know why that's such a big deal for you, but for you, it's a big deal because you've not done this before. And so, you know, a break is a specific stake in the ground. It's just saying, hey, I'm going to move forward, and from this day forward, I'm going this direction, and perhaps it's new territory. Now, the nation of Israel, they have this unmistakable moment where they turn their back on Pharaoh and there was a definitive break. And so Charlton Heston, when he's leading the nation of Israel out of, or Moses, you know, depending on which version of the story you've seen, as Charlton and Moses are leading the nation of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, there's this moment where they go through the Red Sea. The Red Sea parts in front of them, and they have this mountaintop experience. I mean, it couldn't get any better than this moment. And here's what it says in Exodus 12, verse 40. It says, now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. They were in the blahs. At the end of the 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt. So 430 years, they were in the blahs, all right? That's just how it was. They worked every day. They made bricks. They never had a day off. And then, boom, to the day, they make a step, and they go into a new territory. Now, it's interesting because some of these phases we're talking through today, you may toggle between one and another back and forth at different points. You might step into one phase and then back into the previous phase. That's very, very normal for this to take place. This one doesn't happen that way. All right, this one, when you make the break, you know it. There's a defined moment that you know, okay, on this day, at this moment, I made the break. All right, if you don't know when the definitive break was, you probably haven't made a break from it yet. For instance, I've got a guy that just recently joined one of my small groups, my men's groups, and he's a former AA guy, in fact, still an AA. And every time he's in one of our groups, he thinks it's AA, I guess, because he's always like, hey, my name's Marty, and I'm 2 years and 46 days sober. I mean, he knows to the day exactly. The next week, hey, my name's Marty, I'm two years and, you know, what would that be, 53 days sober. I mean, he to the day, he knows the day. You know the day. The break is when you do something. And you say, okay, this day I'm actually going in a different direction, and you go somewhere you've never gone before. Let me tell you about a guy named Lynn. I met Lynn at Christmas Eve this year. He wandered into one of our services, a whole bunch of services over 3 days at Christmas Eve, I think six services over 3 days. And you know, we do a lot of marketing, and Lynn is not the normal kind of guy that walks into our church. We're like a pretty hard rock and roll, loud church, and we have people, you know, all the way from, you know, youngest of young to seniors. And so that it's not abnormal. It's just abnormal for someone in their 70s to be like, wow, I'm coming to this church for the first time if I don't have family here. And so Lynn walks in, and he's in a suit and a tie, and he's got his Bible, and he's got a postcard that we sent as a direct mailing piece under his arm. And I see him walk in, and one of our partners, which I love when partners, we call our members partners, when they do this, my friend Adejua brought him up to me and said, hey, it's Lynn's first time with us tonight at Christmas Eve. I just wanted to bring him over to you and introduce him to you. I love when our partners do that. And so I talked to Lynn for a moment, and he said, yeah, some good people from this church personally invited me with this postcard this week to come to this service. And I was thinking, wow, we sent about 10,000 of those out, but I am so glad you felt personally invited. And so, you know, we talked for a moment. He went into service. And later on in the service, near the end, we did candle lighting, which you may do that at your Christmas Eve as well. And Lynn started walking out, and I heard from some of our partners, like, oh, he doesn't like it. It's too loud. He's leaving. This is a great moment. And he's literally walking out with his candle. Our operations team catches him at the back door. And they're like, oh, sir, I'm sorry, are you leaving? He said, no, I just have to go to the bathroom. His prostate was not, you know, lasting the whole service. And so our operations team took the candle from him and said, how about we hold this before you go to the restroom? We'll give it back to you when you come back. And so that's what happened. He came back. Well, Lynn started attending after the first of the year, and we began to get a bit of his story. And we found out that Lynn was from the East Coast, and he'd moved to Indianapolis because he had family in the area and because he was on a cancer journey. And we have a great VA hospital in Indianapolis, and so he moved to our area to get treatment, to be around family. And he said to me, he said, Kurt, I've not been in church in 62 years, but this journey has caused a lot of people to start praying for me, and I think it's time I start praying for myself. And so he walked into church. Well, a few weeks later, fast forward to Easter, during Holy Week, we had an open prayer time in this space right here, in our venue, our sanctuary, during Holy Week, during the lunch hour, just for people to come and have quiet time and spend whatever time they wanted. Lynn showed up on Good Friday, the last day of the week. And as he was leaving that day, he grabbed one of our giving envelopes, just like you have next to your giving boxes, and he was looking at it. And I said, Lynn, can I help you with that? And he said, I've never seen these before. And so I just kind of explained how to use it, and you can give online and so on. He said, well, I can use it if I want to give something. I said, absolutely. And so he said, thanks, and he turned around and walked out the door. And about a minute later, he came back in, and he pulled an envelope out of his pocket. And he said, I was going to do this anonymously. I don't know how to do this. And he handed me a check that was issued from his bank to our church. And he said, this is the first time I've ever done this. Never done this in my life. But there's a lot of things I've been doing for the first time in 62 years. And it's time now that I start investing and helping other people find their way to God because of what God's done in me. That's a break right there. Right? Wow. That's change. Now, let me tell you why that's so significant. It's because you and I, we have something built into us. This is crazy. We have something built into us that just naturally makes us not want to change. This is something that's mirrored in the physical world and in the spiritual world. In fact, take a look at this right here. This is a double helix, and this is something that's going on in your body right now. And every cell, since you were an embryo, that has been reproduced in your body contains the same blueprint from the previous cells in your body. And what happens is when that DNA takes its blueprint from the previous cell to the next cell, one of the things we know is, you know, naturally, physically, spiritually the same. Anything that's healthy grows. I mean, if it's healthy, anything that's healthy, it reproduces. It continues to produce growth. And so, you know, cells, when they're healthy, they naturally reproduce and multiply. Now, what's interesting is these things will keep reproducing, but there are systems built into our DNA to maintain the integrity of the DNA. Now, when I say integrity, I'm not meaning purity. That doesn't mean that it's a pure DNA. It means whatever that original DNA was. So whatever that means, if like you were predisposed to have cancer at 45, which I don't even know how that works, I'm going to be honest with you, then those cells are going to continue to reproduce in that way. And so what happens is whenever a cell is reproduced and there's a change in it and it doesn't match the original blueprint, there's a natural mechanism built in to actually eliminate that cell. It's very fascinating. We actually have something built in to not allow there to be a change in that blueprint. And this is what happens in the physical world. Now, some of you are going, wow, he's really smart. He must have a degree in chemistry. No, I don't know any of this stuff. I'm just going to tell you. Somebody was telling me one day, I'm like, wow, could you repeat that for me? So if I didn't get it all right and you're a chemist or biology person, just let me know after service. I'll make sure my story's up to date. All right? But here's what's cool. Here's what happens in the spiritual life, the same thing. That there's something in us that we have a tendency to kill off any idea that we haven't been doing for the last 5 years or 7 years or 12 years. And we say, well, that's just not what I do, or this isn't who I am, or this is who I am, and I don't need to change. And this is why making a break is so, so hard. And you might be sitting here going, well, gosh, Kurt, I change all the time. I mean, I'm always changing. I'm always changing cars. I'm changing jobs. I'm changing who I date. I'm changing spouses. I'm changing churches. I don't know if I would call that healthy change. That's probably fickleness is what I would call that. That's like the inability to follow through. All right, what I'm talking about here is the internal structure that we have to view the world, to operate, to go to healthier and better and more God-reflecting places. There's got to be a break. Financially, a break could be cutting up the credit cards. It could be cutting up the credit cards and putting them in, you know, a pan in the oven, making a plastic souffle this afternoon, right? Like just getting rid of them. You know, relationally, a break could be saying, hey, guess what? I'm out of here. I'm out of here with my boyfriend. I'm out of here with my girlfriend. This is an unhealthy situation. I'm tired of being strung along in this unhealth. And here's what happens. When you make the break, the problems aren't over, right? I mean, you make the break, and guess what happens? The credit card bills, they keep coming. You make a break with the boyfriend or girlfriend who's an unhealthy influence. Guess what? You know what they do? They storm the gate. They're like, wow, you're courageous. That's really hot to me. I think I'm even more interested in you. And so, you know, the problems don't end, which is why we have to be aware of what the next phase is when we go through change. The next phase that we go through, that Moses takes the Israelites through, is what's called the blues. Because it doesn't get easier, it actually gets harder. Now, the blues are the place where we have regret and remorse about the decision or the change that we just made. We think back to how good it was before we made the change, right? Because you knew those shoes, right? You knew those jeans. Those jeans fit really, really well. Now, this means there's going to be some awkward moments for you. Maybe you had to make a change on, you know, you'd have three or four drinks every night, or you go to a party and Jack Daniels is part of your party, and you're like, hey, I'm not going to do that anymore. And so you're used to going to parties holding a glass with ice in it, all right? And it's really awkward for you now. You don't know how to be the life of the party. And some of you might be going, well, that's not a big issue for me. Well, that's probably because it's not a stronghold for you. But if that's a stronghold, you're making a change, and all of a sudden this is hard. All right, you know, you may have noticed in the blogs that, gosh, I've really never had a gap of not being with someone since I was 13 years old. I mean, when I was dating, some of us would do this. When we were dating someone, we'd be like, hey, I'm going to line somebody up before I break up with the previous one, right? Like, I don't want to be alone. And so, and you begin to realize, I've never had a gap. Maybe I have some rejection strongholds, or maybe I just really fear being alone. And so maybe you're in an unhealthy influence in a relationship and you need to make a break, and you're going to do it this time without having somebody waiting in the wings. All right, that's going to be a bit awkward. And you're going to do that, but then, you know, the weekend hits or the holidays hit, and all of a sudden the blues kick in. See, this is always the way change feels. In the middle of it, it always feels like a failure. Because it's borderland. It's in-between land. Right? The blessings haven't come yet. We haven't got to the new muscle fibers of the next season yet. This is how it is with the nation of Israel. They actually break, and they go to freedom, and they have regrets. Here's what it says in Exodus 16. This is in the desert. The whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Think about this. Moses just broke them out of slavery, and they're grumbling already. All right, the Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. I mean, there we sat around pots of meat. We ate all the food we wanted. But you, Moses, have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. This is what happens. When you hit the blues, everything gets exaggerated, all right? They're like, Moses, you brought us out here. What were you thinking getting us out of slavery? That's ridiculous. I mean, just think about that. I mean, because everything's awful in the blues, all right? Everything's terrible. This is not the Lego movie where everything's awesome, all right? Everything is awful. And the crazy thing is, these people just had a miracle. They just had a miracle. All right, think about this. They were just like, gosh, if we could see a miracle, you and I think this, if I could see a miracle where seas parted in front of me and I could actually, you know, walk through a dry riverbed with waters on both sides of me, man, I wouldn't have any doubts. If I could see a miracle like that, man, I would be a percentage giver. I would be very generous in my giving with my church. If I could do that, I would forgive people. If I could see a miracle, I would have no doubts. I would take bold risks in everything I do. I mean, gone with the old way. If I could just see a miracle like that, I'm going to tell you, no, you wouldn't. None of us would. You know why? Because miracles never do that for us. Now, don't get me wrong. I love miracles, right? Miracles are like instantaneous shots in the arm. I'm praying for some miracles right now. I love miracles, but here's the thing. We see miracles happen, And we see this all throughout the story of God, all throughout his history. Miracles don't do anything to sustain our faith. I mean, think about this. The nation of Israel, they just walked through the riverbed of a large body of water that parted for them. I mean, they're looking at fish as they're walking through this. They're looking at water on either side. And as they're walking through this, their captors, the Egyptians are following them. They're on their heels, ready to take them back into captivity. And in that moment, God decides to let the water fall on the Egyptian army, totally wipe them out. This is as miraculous as you can get. And yet it doesn't sustain their faith. Which, by the way, I think this is one of the cool things about this spiritual literature known as the Bible that makes it so believable. Because, I mean, it just paints human reality, right? I mean, you'd think these people would be like, whoa, look at just what just happened. Can you believe it? You know what they're doing? They're grumbling. They're grumbling. They're like, we didn't bring our utensils in our Instapot. You know, they're like, man, what are you doing, Moses? You didn't tell us we weren't going to have any food out here. I mean, at least back in slavery, we had Dunkin' Donuts and Chipotle. I mean, we could at least, you know, eat. Seriously. Think about this. I think God's like, you were a slave. You were a slave. You were making bricks all day. You had no vitality. You had no freedom. This is what happens in the blues. We fantasize about how good it was. We forget that we'd flatlined. And every change, think about this, every change, every march toward freedom, it feels like a failure when you're in the midst of it. Every single one. This is why I think Paul gave us this verse in the book of Romans. He says, do not conform to the patterns of this world. He says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, this idea of renewing right here, this tense is the sense of ongoing and repeatedly. It's not like a one-time thing. Renew yourself once. He says, no, the enemy's constantly going to try to put his agenda on you. He's going to constantly try to put barriers between you and you putting more and more trust and hope and relationship into Jesus. He says you got to constantly be renewing your mind. You got to take that thought captive. You got to remind yourself, hey, my worth is not my financial net worth on a statement. My net worth is not what somebody told me in my job interview. My net worth is not based on, you know, what advertising says I am or I am not. My worth is based on what my Heavenly Father says about me and what he was willing to pay for me. And this is why you have to push through the blues, because the blues are hard. And then we get to the last one. This is the one we all want to get to. This one right here is the blessing.
They want you to say grace. The blessing.
Oh, we got some Christmas Vacation fans in the house, I see. Yeah. A little bit of different idea of blessing, but this is where we want to get, right? We all want to get to this phase. This is the blessings phase. The blessings are where we experience the beauty of what God has for us. It's not just a fleeting moment. It's not just some temporary thing. No, we get to a place where we're actually experiencing the vitality that God actually dreams for us. Now, I've given a number of examples already on how we move through these. Let me give you one more. We've got four kids, and here's kind of the process you go through if you have kids. When our kids were toddler and preschool age, which I love the toddler phase, I loved infant phase, but I'm telling you, there were times where the sleepless nights and the temper tantrums, I mean, it was like, it wasn't amazing, it wasn't horrible either, it was kind of like the blahs, right? And then we made the break where we got out of diapers, we got out of the dirty diaper, and all of a sudden they get to elementary phase, and it's like, wow, this is amazing, they have all kinds of independence, and they can do things for themselves, and we feel like we're going in a new direction, and then they hit the teen years, and that started pretty well, and then the blues set in. And I'm like, wow, I liked it better when they couldn't say any words. And so... Right? Like, you think it's great. You're like, it's better when they're just sitting right here. But see, you have to push through the blues, and then you get to the blessings. And I'm in the blessings with two of my kids right now. I've got two at the university level, one getting ready to graduate in a week and a half. And I'm telling you, it's so cool. If you're there, you know what I'm talking about. When you begin to become friends, all the work you put in, I'm not having to be dad anymore, like, do this, don't do that. I mean, she'll consult me on things, but I'm like, I get to just be a friend. Now, my son, we still are toggling between the blues and the blessings some. And so he, you know, that's a place where you kind of go back and forth because he's not quite made it there yet. He's still in process. But this is where we want to push through to get. We want to get to the blessings. And see, here's the other cool thing. When you get to the blessings phase, sometimes things begin to make sense about the blues phase that you just couldn't see when you were there. right? Sometimes we're in the blues. We're like, I don't get this. I don't understand why God's doing this or what I'm going through. But we look back and it makes sense. So I just want you to be encouraged because God uses the blues to develop and grow us. Now, this is so important. You can be in multiple phases at one time, all right? And you're never going to stop going through this. You might get through something and go, oh, man, I'm in the blessings phase. And then God brings something else to mind that where you're in the blahs, and you go right back through the process again. This is why Moses, again, something he says here to the people of Israel, he talks about, hey, you have freedom, but there's actually more freedom to attain. And this is a part of the journey that we're in here right now. How do we get more and more spiritual vitality, more and more of God in our life? Here's what Moses says. He says, do not be terrified by them, for the Lord your God who is among you is a great and awesome God. The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. And look at these last three words, little by little. He says, it's not like, boom, the promised land just happens, everything's great, everything's awesome. He says, no, little by little. I love this phrase, little by little. He says, their freedom comes little by little. Little by little, they begin to have more and more of an experience with God. Little by little, they have more and more freedom. More and more, they experience more and more of the dream that God has for them. You know, sometimes we think this is a one and done. I'm out. I went through that. I don't have to do it again. No, God wants to continually take you to new places little by little. Now, one other thing I'd be remiss to not mention this right here. This is one of the hard realities of this process. Some of us may never fully experience the freedom that you're hoping for. Meaning, while I do believe Moses was free, he gets to this place right at the edge of the promised land. He goes up on this mountain. He's right before he goes through the Jordan River, which is the pathway or the threshold to the promised land. And he dies right there on the mountain before he gets there. I think Moses was experiencing a freedom. But see, some of us, you may have things that you've experienced that you carry with you. Some of us may have things like, you know, childhood sexual trauma that, you know, somebody messed with you when you were a kid. And somebody messed with them when they were a kid. And somebody messed with them when they were a kid. And it has just repeated itself. And you've decided, hey, I'm making a break from that. I'm deciding that's not happening anymore. But you may still feel like you're in the blues. You may still feel like, man, I just don't feel like I have it together most of the time. And I feel like, you know, there's like demons mess with me literally and figuratively. And I have these thoughts in my mind. And I have to constantly remind myself of my value. And yet I want to remind you, you actually are experiencing the blessings. But see, the fullness of getting to the promised land, it may not be fully experienced until your kids don't have to deal with that anymore. Or until your kids don't have a parent who is in the process of getting healing and actually getting to better places in that. And so you may be fully in process moving forward. But this is one of the reasons, you know, the Old Testament talks about this generational curse to the second and third generations. That sometimes the things we're doing today, we're not going to see the effects for another generation or two or three. But man, be encouraged, because God, it doesn't mean he's not working. So here's our homework this week. I think God wants to take us through some spiritual growth this week. I think he wants to take you to new places, to new places of vitality, of trusting him. And if you've got a journal through this journey and you're following along, you're going to do some readings this week, or you have some reflection that will help you identify how is God growing me, what is God wanting to grow in me. If you don't have a journal, they're available at the doors when you came in today. Grab one when you go, because we're going to walk out freedom this week as we continue processing what is God doing in me, how is he carrying me forward. But you have to go through the process. I've got a friend, one of my friends, I love his phrase. He always says you have to participate in your own rescue. All right, it's not just going to happen. You got to participate in the work that God is doing. So be encouraged. I think God's doing something pretty amazing, and I think he wants to continue it. Let's go ahead and stand. I want to encourage us as we wrap up today, and we're going to do something a little different. I'm not going to pray for us as a community. We're actually going to pray for each other. And what I mean by that is we're going to sing a song that is, in essence, a prayer where we're just going to speak the words of Jesus over every single person in this room, because part of going through these phases and getting to new spiritual places, we need a community behind us, and we need to be cheering each other on. And so this song actually talks about, hey, I want to speak the name of Jesus over you through every place of brokenness, through every place of heartache, through every addiction that might be present, every place where you might be in the blahs, so you can make a break and get to a new place. So we're actually going to sing this prayer, and we're going to canvas every single person here in this space, every single person tuned in online with this blessing. And there may be some of us that perhaps you've never taken a step to follow Jesus, to trust Jesus. Maybe today's the day where you take advantage of his grace. And you can do it by just saying, Jesus, I want to know that. I don't even fully know what that means, but I want to know that grace in my life. You can just say, yes, Jesus, I want to know that today, and know that as you receive him, he will receive you. All right, so let's go to new places. I think God wants some freedom for us in some incredibly new ways. So let's sing together.